All right, we're holding. We're going to begin a new perek now, perek Beis Shammai, Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph. The topic of this perek is going to be Miyun. And we learned all the way back at the beginning of the Masechta, and we touched on it here and there throughout the Masechta, the idea that Midaraisa, a father has the right to be Mekadesh his daughter while she's a Ktana, before age bas mitzvah, or when she's in Nairos, the 6 months after her bas mitzvah. But after that, no, he doesn't have any rights over her. But that's all Midaraisa. Midrabbanan, as the Gemara will say later on in the Perek, toward the end of the Perek, the Rabbanan made a takana that a girl whose father passed away, or in certain cases, even we've learned about, there can be a case where her father is still alive, but she was already previously married once, then other people can be mekadesh her, her mother, her brothers, or whatever, can accept kedushin on her behalf. The machlokes are showing him whether she can accept kedushin on her own behalf when she's a ktana. Some mafarshim want to say it depends on her age. Actually, whether she's below six or above six. Anyway, since all of that only exists midrabbanan, the rabbanan made the sakana in order because otherwise she's going to have to remain unmarried until she becomes a gdola, and who knows what may happen. Then the whole thing only exists midrabbanan. Therefore, the rabbanan also created this idea of miyun that she can state verbally, I don't want to be in this marriage anymore, and then that's it. The marriage is annulled
retroactively.
Right. So now this perek is going to talk about all the details of this thing. Mishnah starts off, Beis Shammai Oimim Ein Miman and El Arusis. So first of all, Beis Shammai says that Miyun can, or the Gemara is going to explain, actually not really can, but should only be done for an Arusa, for a girl who's only gone through Kedushin, not yet Nisuin. Well, Vesilo Oimim Arusis and Nisuin, whereas Vesilo says it doesn't matter if she's an Arusa or Nisua, either way Miyun can happen. Another din, Beis Shammai Oimim Baal V'Lei B'Yavam. Beis Shammai says that she can only do Miyun against her husband, but not against her Yavam. If she had been married to Reuven, and she remained married to him until he died, she never did Miyun, then she's not for Lifne Yavam. Now she comes up for Yivum, and you have the other brothers. She can't do Miyun at that point. She has to wait till, as we learned in the previous perek, there's Machloikas Tanoim, whether she has to wait till she's Bas Mitzvah to do Chalitza, or whether she could do it when she's a Ktana. Whatever the case, at this point, Beis Shammai says Miyun is not an option. Or Vesil, I'm a Baal over Yavam, whereas Vesil says no, just like you can do Miyun against the husband, you can do Miyun against the Yavam, which we'll discuss in the Gemara whether that means doing Miyun against one individual Yavam, meaning in other words, you know, you have the other brothers, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, who are saying, I don't want to marry Shimon, but I still might be open to marrying Levi or Yehuda, or is it an all or nothing deal?
One includes the other?
Yeah. Next, Beis Shammai Oimim B'Fanav. Beis Shammai say that the miyun has to be done in front of the husband. Beis Shammai say it can be either in front of the husband or not. Doesn't matter. And a fourth machlokas. Beis Shammai Oimim B'Beistin. Beis Shammai says it has to be done in front of a beistin, and the Gemara is going to explain. By a beistin over here, Beis Shammai means a beistin of smuchim, people who have smicha, the original kind of smicha, ish mipiyish from Moshe Rabbeinu. Basil says it does not have to be in that kind of basin. As the Gemara is going to explain, Basil says it does have to be in front of three dayanim, but they don't have that kind of smicha. They can be, as we learned in the previous perek hediotis. Another machlokes. Amr lahem Basil of Beis Shammai. So Basil says to Beis Shammai, "Mema enes v'hiktana afilu dalet v'hei pamin." A girl can do miyun over and over, as long as she's still a ktana, even four or five times. So she can be married to Reuven and be mamayin against him, and then the marriage is retroactively annulled, and then go and marry Yitzchak and do miyun against him, and then go and marry Moshe and go and do miyun against him, etc. She can be going through like that several times.
Marry, not like the father marries.
Let's clarify. We said that if the father marries her, then there's no miyun. The father marrying her off before she's ever been married before, and up until she's a naira, up until she's a begeret, rather, is midaraisa. You can't do miyun for that. That you need a get for. No, we're talking about that her father, the usual case is her father died, so her mother married her off to Reuven, and she doesn't like him, so she does miyun. Then her mother marries her off, or she marries herself off, according to the opinions that that works, to Yitzchak, and so on and so forth. Well, that's no. So one second. That's why Beis Hillel says that. So since Beis Hillel says it doesn't have to be in Beis Din, therefore they say that's the connection with the previous machlokas. Therefore, Beis Hillel saying it doesn't have to be in Beis Din anyway, so it doesn't matter if it's done over and over. Well, but Beis Shammai says to them, "Ain't nice Yisrael hefker. Jewish women are not hefker. You can't do like that. You're getting in and out of marriages and annulling them. It's not right." Ella, mima enes, no, she should do miyun, umam tenes ad shetagdil, she should wait until she gets older, until she becomes bat mitzvah, utamayin, then she does miyun again, which, why would she have to do miyun a second time, we'll discuss in the Gemara, v'tinase, and then she can remarry. So it's according to the Shammai, it's a one-time thing. According to Beis Shammai, she only has one time during her katnus, during her years of childhood, that she's able to be mamayin. Up until puberty, whatever.
If she does it a second time, I'm not, it doesn't count.
No. So Beis Shammai is saying you can't. We're not going to allow her. Beis Shammai, remember, is saying that miyun has to be done in front of a Beis Din. Beis Shammai is saying the Beis Din is not going to allow her to do miyun against a second or a third or whatever husband.
And
so if she did,
and
outside of a Beis Din, according to Beis Shammai, it doesn't count. Yeah. She has to wait till 12. So Beis Shammai seems to be saying that if she did miyun, let's say when she's 10, Beis Shammai seems to be saying, on the surface of it, what the Mishnah is saying is that she'll have to. She does miyun at 10, fine. She goes back home. She leaves her husband, but she's still sort of in a suspended state. We have to wait until she's 12, and then she actually makes the miyun declaration again, and then at that point we're going to allow her to remarry. Why that should have to do, we'll talk about in the Gemara. Yeah. Well, maybe the second one doesn't have to be done at a Beis Din. Okay, I don't know. So, starting off of the Gemara, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, my time at Beis Shammai, why, what's Beis Shammai's reasoning that they say that miyun can, or not really can, but should only be done for an arusa? Lefisha ain't tnai b'nisui. Because, as we've learned a few times already in the Masechta, when it comes to Kedushin, it can be done al tnai. You can be Makadish a woman, al manas shani koyin, al manas shani tzadik, et cetera, all the different possible cases that it talks about in Kedushin. But there's no tnai when it comes to nisuin. So in other words, forget about a katana for a second. If we were talking about an adult woman over here, the kedushin could conceivably be done al tnai, and then therefore if the kedushin are broken off, then people will realize it was al tnai. Nisuin, there wasn't really shayach a tnai in. And by the way, while I was looking up sources today, I came across something something that some ascetic writes in Ohr HaTorah that you have the same kind of thing when it comes to the relationship between the Eibishter and the Jewish people. If it was just a matter of kedushin, if it's on a level of just kedushin, then you have im b'chukos etelechu, if you follow my chukim, then such and such, and if not, then such and such. Whereas when it's at a level of nisuin, then it's asher tishmu, you will listen to the Eibishter. You're not in the Moshe Mashiach, mainly when we're going to have the Nisuin with the Eibishter. Then we're going to be on a level where there's no Tanai possible. There's not even a possibility where anything goes wrong. Right now, we're just considered. Right now, we're still in the Erisin stage. It's a very long stage. Yeah. Okay. So the E Nisuin to mine. So now, if we allow a girl, a lower bas mitzvah, to do miyun after she's in a surah, osila mima, yes, tnai b'nisuin. People are going to mistakenly think that there can indeed be a tnai even in a gdola's nisuin. Therefore, people are not going to realize, in other words, that people are not going to realize that, you know what, this girl was a tana. They're going to think maybe she was a gdola, she was already bas mitzvah, she's already a naira, yet we see that her marriage is being annulled. That goes to show people will say that there can be a tnai in nisuin, whereas we know there can't. So because in order to avoid that confusion, we don't want her to do a miyun from nisuin. Right. Okay, the question is, fine, I can understand there's no tnai in nisuin, because by the nisuin already, you've already had relations, there's already chiba over there, there's a closeness between the husband and the wife. Fine, I can understand there's the idea. Even if, for example, suppose, let's say the husband had made a tnai in the kedushin, and the tnai has not yet been fulfilled. Still, we say, once they're going to nisuin, once they're already going to have relations, then already he's mentally mevatel any tnoyim he made in order that the marriage will be absolute. So fine. No, the tanai could be any kind of tanai. It could be a tanai, for example. It could be a tanai, for example, that you don't have certain, you know, that you don't have certain characteristics. Or it could be a tanai about me that I have certain
money
characteristics or whatever, that I have money or that I'm a kohen or that I don't have money or whatever, you know. So that what we're saying is, when it comes to the nisuin, let's say for example it was a tanai that he was rich. What we're saying is, the woman might be agreeing to be niskadish to him only based on that tanai, but by the time they come to actually consummating the marriage, at that point, she will have mentally revoked that tanai. She's not going to go. She's not going to go be with her new husband. Just, you know, it's up in the air. Are we really married or not? People don't do that. Yeah.
We don't consider it as nus.
So no, nus will get too soon. The question is, what are you going to say if they only went into the chuppah, which means the yichurum, but they have not yet actually had relations? Then what are you going to say? You can't argue at that point. Maybe chuppah is done all tonight. The answer is no. L'fishen tanai v'chuppah. No, the same thing when it comes to the chuppah. Nobody does that al tanai either. It's true. It's not yet beer. It's not yet actually consummating the marriage, but it's close enough already that nobody has any tanayim in mind at that point. Okay, how about another case? What about, you can have another case. You can have another case where a woman is effectively considered married. It's already out of the stage of kedushin, even though they haven't been together yet in yichud, much less consummated it. Namely, if the father gave her over to the shluchei abal. You know, the father lives in one city, the husband lives in another city. So the father, the husband sent shluchim to accompany her to his city. The father gave them to her to escort them, to escort her. At that point, she's out of her father's house. At that point, already the nisuin is considered to have begun. No, it's not even like there's no yichud yet because the husband is in the other city. He's waiting for her. But still, already. The point is, couldn't that still be al tanai? Couldn't it still be, for example, that he or she still has a tanai in mind? What? And there's no chiba, right? There isn't this closeness yet because they haven't been together. Even in yichud, yeah.
That's
okay. That's the question, right? So the question is, you're saying that Bishama is saying that once she's out of the stage of Arusa, don't do a mirun because you might have this confusion. But why don't they allow it as long as she hasn't actually reached the chuppah? The answer is like plug Rabbanan, because the Shaman would say that Rabbanan don't make distinctions like that. You don't want to, it's going to be too confusing. It's going to be too confusing when you're going to say, you know, like this, you make a bright line, Eresin yes, Nisuin no, anything that can be called Nisuin no, and that way it'll stay clear. Rashi points out over here, when we say Masar Av, we can't really be saying the father gave her over, because we just said the whole definition of Miyun is the father's not in the picture anymore, he's dead. So either Rashi says, okay, we don't mean the father literally, we mean her mother or her brothers or whoever was responsible, her guardian, whatever. Or again, we have the possible case. Well, okay, we have the possible case of Yisayma B'chaya Av again, where she was previously married and now her father doesn't have jurisdiction anymore. So it could be that also. Yeah. Anyway. Although then also you can't really speak of the father because the father isn't in the picture then. Even though he's still alive, he's physically capable of handing over to the shluchim, but his doing that has no legal effect anyway because he's out of the picture. Okay, so that's Beis Shammai. Or Beis Hillel, what would Beis Hillel answer to that? They would say, everybody knows very well that Ktana's Nisuin only exists midrabanan. So when they see that she leaves the Nisuin without a get, they're going to know. It's not a matter of Tnayim, not Tnayim, or whatever. They're going to know there's a difference between a Ktana and an adult. So there's no reason to make such a Gzera.
Do you know when she's close to the
Gzera? If she's close, she's close, but she's not there yet. You know? Everybody knows she got married when she was young. That's reason number one. Reason number two for Beis Shammai and Sibyl's opinion, Rabba v'Rab Yosef d'Amri Tavayu, Taima de Beis Shammai, the reason of Beis Shammai is, L'fisha et Adam Oysa b'ilas b'ilas Znus. Because, this is what you were saying about Znus, a person does not want that his relation should be the ilas Znus. So therefore, the point is like this. What happens if she does mirror? Retroactively, their marriage was never a marriage. Meaning retroactively, any relations that they had was nus. No man is going to want that. Therefore, if you say that Shammai argues, if you say that a nesua, after she's had relations, is also able to do miyun, what's going to happen? Nobody's going to want to marry her in the first place. The whole reason that Abanan made the takana that a tana should be able to get married is shelo yunagu minag hefker. So she's not just sitting there hefker unmarried until she's 12. Yeah, obviously, it was a different society where women, you know, where girls and that in those ages could be preyed upon, whatever. But So, you want that people should be interested in marrying her. If you're going to make it that she can all of a sudden get out of the marriage without, then nobody's going to want to, because they're not going to want to be a lesbian.
Isn't it more of a guy to the woman than the husband? What about that?
She's a Tana. She's not having children. We discussed in the first parak, and we discussed in the first parak, and we discussed briefly a few days ago that if she's a Tana, she's not having children yet anyway. And if she does, then she's already too old to do Mion. Right, it would be ignited to both of them, but the point is he does not want that all his be'ilus are going to be be'ilus nus. And therefore he would just say, you know what, I can't be bothered, I'll just marry a gdola, and then therefore if it turns out it doesn't work out, I give her a get, fine, but at least we were married up until now, rather than a ktana where it's uprooted la chila.
He will take it.
Yeah. Okay.
Even if she thinks it's nus, so she...
No, it's not a question of who thinks it's nus, it's a question of if he marries her, 3 months later, she does Mirun. It means that any relations they had during those 3 months effectively were B'ilas Nus. He's not going to want that. Therefore, he's not going to marry her in the first place. Okay, again, the question is, Nichnas el chuppah v'le nivel amayik l'meimah. Nu, what are you going to say if there was only the chuppah, only Yichud, and not yet B'ilah? Then what would you say? And the answer is, okay, still, la nichle did have a chuppah d'isura. Fine, but nobody wants that their chuppah should be done in a state of isur either. Again, nobody wants that retroactively it turns out that their chuppah was asur. Okay, again, what do you have? What are you going to do in the case where the father gave her over to the shluchim of the husband, where again there's no chuppah and much less via, and yet you're saying at that point she's out of the stage of arusa, she's already in the stage of nesua, and still the shama is saying she can't do miyun, why not? And again, the answer is like before, like plug rabbanon, because again, you would say that rabbanon don't want to make such fine distinctions like that, it's too confusing. Explanation number three. Actually, to finish off with explanation number two of Bistilil, what would Bistilil answer to all of that? They would say, given the Ikka Kedushin Uksuba, given that, even in the case of Miun, after all, to begin with, you had to have Kedushin, you had to write Uksuba. Therefore, let us remember, give Ilas to Be'ilas Nus. Nobody's going to think of it as Be'ilas Nus. Yes, retroactively, it turns out the marriage was annulled. But nobody's going to think of it as Be'ilas Nus, because it's unlike, you know, it's not like he just shacked up with her. Everybody knows there was an actual proceeding, there was an actual ceremony done over here. No, so okay. Loy also fine. So he himself won't think of it as He himself won't think of it as be'ilas nus because he knows. You know, we did everything kosher v'yasher. We did everything according to the proper rules. What? Yeah. People also won't say yeah. So it's both. No, so. The thing is, so if we're talking only from Erosin, there wouldn't be a Ksuba yet. A Ksuba is not usually written during the Erosin stage. It's usually written right before the Nisui.
Even the
Suyin, but
what?
She won't get paid a Ksuba, but the Ksuba was written. Yeah, she's not collecting it, but the Ksuba was written.
That's why
Beis Hillel is saying, no problem after Nisuin, there was Kiddushin beforehand, now after Nisuin there's a Ksuba as well. That's enough that he's not going to think of it as B'ilasness. Okay, reason number three, Rav Papa Amar, Taima de Beis Shammai, Mishum Peri, the reason of Beis Shammai, why they say that Miun should only be done from Erusin, is because of the Peris. We learned earlier in the Masechta, that the woman brings in various assets into the marriage. There's nichsim lug, where she keeps the actual property, and the husband is entitled to the profits from it, the peiros. And then you had nichsim barzel, but those aren't coming into the picture over here. So the nichsim lug were concerned about what's going to happen with the peiros. Once they're married already is when he's entitled to the peiros. We don't want him to go and ruin them or use them illegally. Let's see what that means. Time is a Basilo Mishum Peri. And Basilo's reason is also in order to safeguard the Paris. Namely, time is a Basham Mishum Peri, because the Yamat Nisur to mine, if you say she's allowed to do the Miun even after the Nisurin has taken place, at which point he's entitled to start taking the Paris, Shamit Bachalahumina, then he's going to figure, you know what, she may, and once he starts seeing that their marriage is in trouble, that they're not getting along, and he realizes sooner or later she's going to do Miun, he's going to go and grab as much Peiros as he can, as fast as possible, and eat it off her, or not even the Peiros. The din is actually that even though the asset itself still belongs to the woman, the din is that if he ends up damaging it during the time they're married, he doesn't have to pay back. So he may even do that. He may even start doing that out of spite, figuring, you know what, well, you know, man, she's about to do miyun on me anyway. I may as well get in everything I can. Well, but not out of spite, whatever. But you know, whether it's out of spite or whether that he wants to gain it, you know, yeah. So Beis Shammai is arguing. Therefore, don't allow miyun after nisuin. That way, you're safeguarding things for her. Before nisuin, he's anyway not entitled to the payrus. So therefore, in case things start going south at that point, there's nothing he can take away. There's nothing he's able to take away from her. We'd probably say like food, but even so, I mean, there's some kind of asset she's bringing into the marriage, right? There's clothes, there's nothing else, you know. Uvetilal argues, Adarabba, on the contrary, kiven de amr tamayin, since you're saying that she's able to do miyun from the nisuin, ashbuchi ashbach lahu. On the contrary, he may go, that may induce him to try and take better care of the property. Because he figures, you know what, if I don't take good care of her property, then her relatives will give her advice, and they'll take her away from me. In other words, Basilio is arguing, on the contrary, he has an incentive, because he knows that at any time she can do miyun, he has an incentive to treat her and her property as well as possible in order that she doesn't get the idea, you know what, I'm better off without her.
How can they
crave him say that if there's no... Her mother, her brothers, her cousins, whatever, can all advise her, you know what, you're not doing so good with this guy, do me, and then make a fresh start. So like this, he has an incentive to take care of things as well as possible. Miyun is that a girl who was married off below age bat mitzvah by any relative other than her father, then she should. Okay, that's reason number three. Reason number four, Rava Amar, Heinu Taima de Beis Shammai, the reason of Beis Shammai why to only do miyun from Erusin, She'ein Adam Terech B'Sodo Mafsida. Nobody's going to want to make a whole Soda and then end up getting it ruined. The Sodas Nisuin, again, you have the same problem. It's similar to the second explanation, similar to Rabba and Rabbi Yosef's answer. You want people to want to marry this Tana in order that she doesn't remain unattached until Bas Mitzvah, and who knows what might happen to her, who knows who might take advantage of her. Like this. So you want to make it easy, you want to make it worthwhile for people to marry her. You don't want to make that somebody's going to spend thousands of dollars on a wedding. And on a wedding soda, and then it turns out afterwards she does miyun, and it turns out the whole wedding never really happened in the first place. Okay. The chazan side pays for the wedding, yeah. Or Basilo, whereas Basilo argues back, Tavayu Nichalahu, yeah, but you could also argue that both of them have an incentive to get married. Today, the Leifu Kalayu call it the issue, so that it'll be known that they're married. Later on, towards the end of the Masechta, the Gemara points out the famous statement that women would prefer to be married, Tab Lemaitz of Tamdum Lemaitz of Amalu, but even the man, even though he doesn't have the same kind of thing, nevertheless, he also would rather that people know that he's married. That, you can imagine a single guy, you know, all his friends are ribbing him new, you know, when are you already getting married? So like this, at least, you know, he has an incentive to want to get married, even if afterwards it may not work out, and it may be that, you know, the whole marriage will have been annulled to begin with, but at least for a while, you know, everybody knew he was married. So therefore, Basil is not worried about this possibility about Tereach Basildo Mafsida. So he won't consider it a hefsid. He'll consider it was worthwhile, at least, that I was married for that short time. Yeah. Then the Mishnah continued, Bishrama Imi Babal, the Chulah, that Bishrama had said that you can do miyun against the husband, but not against the Yavam. So again, if the husband died, Bishrama is saying at that point she has to do Yibum Uchalitza. She doesn't have the option of doing miyun and saying, you know what, I didn't want to be married to my husband in the first place, I'm free to go. Whereas Bishul says she can do miyun against the Yavam as well. Now, what does it mean to do miyun against the Yavam? Amar Rav Oshia, Mama Enes, Lama Amore, Ve'ena Mama Enes, Lizikosai. She can do miyun against his mimer, which means, as we learned earlier in the Masechta many times, that the Yavam can, or really, Metechanos Chacham is supposed to, do mimer, do an actual act of Kiddushin, before he does the actual Yibum. The mimer, we said, only existed Rabbanan, according to most opinions. So if he gave her this kiddushin, and now she's doing miyun, she can do that. She's able to do that and take away the effect of the mimer. That way, and the advantage of it is that way he doesn't have to give her a get for the mimer. But the Zika, which exists, the Zika, which exists independent of anything he did, that she can't be Mamayin against.
Let's say there's no
Mimer. So if there was no Mimer, then there's nothing for her to be Mimayin against. Right. She still needs Chalitza.
For Zika, she needs
Chalitza. For Zika, she needs Chalitza. For Yibu. No, right. All it is the mimer after the mimer basically gets her back to the state that she was in when her husband died. There's been no mimer, but Yibum or Chalitza still has to be done. There's still Zika. Omer of Chista, my time at the Rabashia. So what's Rabashia's reasoning? He argues mimer to me daita because mimer takes place with her knowledge, because it's like any kedushin, the woman has to be willing to accept it. Matya akra, therefore she's able to undo it. She herself, it was her das that made it happen. Therefore, her das, her miun, can take it away. Zika, the Baal Kocha, where Zika happens against her will, because as soon as her husband dies, automatically she has a Zika, she's a Shemeret Yavam. Why Mati Akra? Then she doesn't have the option of being Oikra, or taking away. Akra, to be Oikra, to uproot it, to take it away. Okay, the Gemara asks why. Why? Imagine if the Yavam actually does Yibum with her, which, what does Yibum consist of? Bia. And that can even be Baal Kocha, because as we learned earlier in the sixth parak, that the bia, whether it's b'shogeg, gemezid, b'onus, whatever, is still kaina. Or matzi akra. And at that point, if the yavam has done bia with her, she still has the option of doing yibum. It's like any other marriage at that point, and she can do miun. No, she doesn't have to have a get. That's the whole point. Miun removes the need for a get.
Even if she had
bia, yeah. According to Beis Hillel, again, according to Beis Shammai, fine. After Nisuin, you're not supposed to be doing Miyun, but we're talking here according to Beis Hillel. Yeah. So you see, it doesn't depend on whether it's something that requires her consent or not. Ella, so no. The difference is like this: Bia u Maimer, the who called it. The difference is both Bia and Maimer are things that the Yavam himself does. Therefore, Matzi Akra. So therefore, it involves somebody had to do something. The Yavam had to do something. Therefore, she has the ability to be oikaret, to take it away. Zika Dirachmana, Rama Allah, whereas the Zika is something that the Torah itself imposed on her. As soon as her husband dies, automatically the Zika comes into effect. Why Matzi Akra, therefore, Rabbi Oshi would argue she does not have the ability to take that away. That's opinion number one. Opinion number two, Ula Omar. Mamayanes after Zikasa. No, Ula says she can actually do miun against his Zika as well. My timer, Nisui Kamoi Kakra, because after all, when she's doing miun, she's not doing miun and saying, I want to be Oiku the Zika. Who miun amounts to, she's saying, I never wanted to be married to my first husband in the first place. Or putting it a little differently, if I had known that it's going to matter, that's going to come up, a matter of Zika over here to a Yavam that I don't like, then I would have done Miun against my first husband before he died. And then that takes away her first marriage altogether, so there's no Zika. Okay, but like this, we'll say Ula is arguing that she can, that she's able to do that. That after her first husband died, her miun retroactively takes effect all the way back to when her first husband married her.
She could have done it,
but
she didn't want
it. Yes. So Rava asked, well, how can you possibly say that? We learned at the beginning of the Masechta, we have the case over there, you remember all the cases we had over there, the Chamesh Esrei Nashim, the 15 close relatives, where you're married to them as well as to another, where you're married to one of them as well as to another woman, the Sarah. So we said, for example, you know, so we have the case, you know, we had the classic case of Tzara Sabas, for example, where Reuven has a daughter and Shimon is married to her as well as to another woman. We said when Reuven dies, the daughter is Potter from Chalitza or Yibum because her father is the Yavam, and her Tzara is therefore also Potter. But we said, let's change the case a little bit. If the daughter was a Ktana, she would have been able to do Miun, she just didn't, she didn't choose to, she didn't bother to, then we have an issue. On the one hand, Midaraisa, her tzara is not the tzara of an erva at all, because Midaraisa, the katana's marriage, the klal doesn't exist. Midrabanan, she's the tzara of an erva. And as usual, when you have a case like that, which we had throughout the Masechta, when you have a case where Midaraisa is one thing and Midrabanan is something else, then the tzara chalatis v'lem is yabemet. So any case, koshi cholol, mind v'lem yana, any case where she could have done miun and did not do miun, tzara chalatis v'lem is yabemet. Then we say her tzara has to do chalitza. She can't do Yibum. V'amai, now the question is, why should we say that she can't do Yibum? To mine Hashta, according to you, that you're saying that this Katana is able to do Miyum now after her husband's dead and retroactively undo her marriage all the way back to the beginning, then let her do Miyum. Takrinu l'nisui kamoi, let her uproot her original nisui. Now she's out of the picture. V'tisiyabim sarasa. And then her tzara is able to do Yibum because she was never the tzara of an erga.
Still being a Katana?
Who's still Tana? The daughter?
Yeah,
she's still Tana. That's the whole point. If she was a daughter, she can't do Miyun.
Right.
But, so that's the point. In other words, if you're telling me that, like Rav Oshia, that once her husband's dead, she loses the opportunity to do Miyun, the most she can do is Miyun against Maimer, then fine, we understand that Mishnah very well. At that point, she definitely is considered married, Midrabanan at least, to she definitely was married Midrabanan and still has a zika, therefore Midrabanan, to her dead husband, to Shimon, and therefore her tzara is the tzara of an erva Midrabanan. Midaraisa she's not, because Midaraisa, the whole marriage never existed. So therefore, Chaletus will let me. But according to Ullah, if you're saying you can undo the marriage retroactively, even after the husband's dead, shouldn't it be better to have her do that, and that way the tzara will be able to do Yibum, which, as we learned earlier in the Sefta, at least according to the Chachamim, Yibum is preferable to Chaletza.
Maybe she's too young and doesn't understand that.
Who's too young? The tzara is not too young. The tzara is a gdola. And the girl. Okay, so she's young. We'll learn later in the perek. They have cases. We'll learn later in the perek. We had it referenced earlier in the Masechta. There are cases where we actually teach the yavama, the skatana, to do miyun. We tell her, based in whoever it is, comes and tells her, you know what? Given the situation, in order to make it possible for yibum to take place over here, then you should do miyun. So then. The answer is Tzoras Erva Shiny. It's different when we're talking about Tzoras Erva. The Tani Rami by Yecheskel, Mia Nababal Moteres La'aviv, we learn, Rami by Yecheskel teaches a Braisa, that if a woman does Miyun against the husband, then she's mutter to marry his father. Now we learn, that we know from earlier in the Masechta that a daughter-in-law is one of the Arayas in the Torah. So if Reuven marries a woman and then divorces her or dies or whatever, then Yaakov is also to marry her. She's his daughter-in-law forever. It's an Esau Kares. But we said if Reuven's wife was a Katana and she did Miyun, given that Miyun undoes the marriage l'chatchila, there was no marriage here l'chatchila, then Yaakov is allowed to marry her. She's not considered his daughter-in-law. But the Yavam Asur La'aviv, but if the same kind of thing were to happen with a Yavam, where her husband died, she had not done Miyun, and now she does Miyun against the Yavam, yes, it's true, like Ullah's saying, that's it, that undoes everything, and therefore she doesn't need Chalitza. Nevertheless, Asur La'aviv, she still remains Asur to the brother's father, to the father of the two brothers. By virtue of what? Why? Alma b'shas nefila niras kikalose. Because at the moment when she became a shemeres yavam, she appeared like his kala. She was his kala at that time. She was his daughter-in-law at that time. Yes, later on she did miyun and retroactively that undid it. But still, because at the time when she became a shemeres yavam, when the zika was established, she was still considered his daughter-in-law because she had not yet done miyun. Therefore, we ask her to the father even after she does the miyun.
Well, there was one time when she was.
Yeah. Well, again, only after her husband dies. We're not worried about when she appears to be his kala while her husband's alive. We're not worried about that. But once he dies, yeah, then, yeah. Hachanami, so similarly over here, same idea with the Mishnah at the beginning of the Masechta. B'shas tefila niris ketzaras bitay. At the time when the Zika is established, at the moment when Shimon dies, the tzara at that point is the tzara of a daughter. Yes, afterwards maybe the daughter does miyun. That doesn't help. That doesn't help the tzara. At that point, it's too late. So yes, even if you were to say that the daughter can do miyun at that point, and therefore that gets the daughter out of chalitza or yibum, but it doesn't get the tzara out of it. It doesn't get the tzara out of the zika. She's still, and since she can't do yibum because she's a tzaras erva midrabanan, therefore she needs chalitza. So no proof against Dola. Now we have to get into the question when we say that she does miyun against the yavam. As we talked about in the Mishnah, what does that mean? She does miyun against one yavam, but the other ones are still able to do yibum? Or does miyun against one mean miyun for everybody? Amar Rav, miya nebezeh asur bezeh. If she does miyun against one brother, then she's also to the other brother. Midi dehava abalas a get, because we consider her to be just like a woman who received a get. We learned earlier in the Masechta that if one of the brothers gives her a get, even though Midaraisa gets to a Yevama has no effect. It's Chalitza, it's only Chalitza, or Yibum, that have effect Midaraisa. But Midrabanan, you have a get. Once he gives her a get, then he passes her to do Yibum with any of the other brothers. At that point, she needs Chalitza. Balas a get, lav kivin di itzerol alachad, itzerol ulachulu. We say by a Yevama who's received a get, once she becomes also to one of the brothers, automatically she becomes also to all the other ones. Hachanami vashna, so the same thing over here. Once she did miyun against one, and she's also to him at that point, then she's also automatically to all the other ones. Ushmuel ama, where Shmuel says no. Miyun nabazem uteres lazeh. If she does miyun against one brother, then she's allowed to the other brothers.
Why
is he saying that? Why? The Balas Aget, because we don't compare her to a case of a get. The difference is Balas Aget Uduka Abidba, because when it comes to a get, he's the one who did the action, he's the one who wrote out a get and gave it to her. Hacha hika abdabe. She's the one here with Miyun, she's the one who's doing something to him. To Amra, she's the one who's declaring Loira Inapach, I don't want you, but like Sabina Loch, I don't desire you. Which implies I don't want to have anything to do with you, but any of your other brothers, sure, I'm willing to do Yibum with them. And the third opinion of Asiyama, no, if she does Miyun against the one brother, she's mutter even to him afterwards. So if she changes her mind afterwards, she says, you know what, I did Miyun, I didn't want you, but you know what, I thought it over, I realized you're a great guy after all, sure, let's do Yibum. Rav Asi says, that's fine. Question is, does that mean that Rav Asi necessarily holds like Rav Oshia, which we said before? Rav Oshia said that her miyun does not take away her original marriage, because if we were to hold, Rav Oshia said once her first husband died, then she loses the opportunity for miyun. Or not really loses it, but the only thing she can do miyun against at that point is a mimer. The zika is still gonna outlive her miyun. What would that mean? If Rav Asi is saying that she's able to marry any of the brothers, that would have to mean on the face of it that he holds like Rav Oshia. That her miyun, the fact that she did miyun had no real effect. It didn't touch the zika at all. So if it didn't touch the zika at all, sure, she's equally allowed to any of the brothers. Even to him, yeah. The answer is b'chad yavam hachanami d'matzachra. No, we can make a distinction. According to Rav Asi, we would say if there's only one yavam, then yes, indeed, if there's only one yavam, in other words, if there's only two brothers, Reuben and Shimon, she was married to Reuben. Reuben's dead. Now Shimon is the only surviving brother. Then yes, hachanami d'matzachra. Then indeed, Rav Asi might argue that she is able to do miyun and uproot the whole zika, because it's an all or nothing deal. When she says I'm mine, there's only one yavam for the miyun to have effect in it. And when it does, her miyun uproots the entire zika. There's one brother, or there might be another brother. There's only the one. As opposed to Pacha b'shnei Yevamin askinen, whereas we might be talking about here about a case of two Yevamin, de'en miyun l'chatzi zika, where we could argue that miyun cannot have effect on only half a zika. You can't say that her miyun takes away only half of, she has a zika to any of the brothers, to two or three or however many of them there are. You can't say the miyun, you can't say Rav Asi says logically that the miyun should affect her zika to one of them and still preserve the zika to the other one. So therefore, logically, you should say it doesn't affect any of them.
It's an all or nothing thing,
right? Kiyasa Ravin, the Gemara says, when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, he said that Rabbi Yochanan had said, Miyun Abazem Uteres La'achin, that if she does Miyun against one, then she's allowed to marry the brothers. V'loi Hoiduloi, and he said, the other Amoraim, did not agree with him. The question is, Man Loi Hoiduloi, which of the Amoraim that we just said, we have three different opinions, we had Rav, Shmuel, and Rav Asi, which ones are the ones that are saying that they don't agree with Rabbi Yechanan? Amar Abaya, Rav. So Abaya says, necessarily, we're talking about Rav. Rav is saying that once she does Miyun against one, she's also to all of them. Clearly, that contradicts Rabbi Yechanan, saying that she's mutter to them. Rav Amar, Rav Oshia. Rava says, no, you could say that the one who is arguing against Rabbi Yechanan is actually Rav Oshia. Why? Because Rav Oshia had said that Rav Oshia had said that We just said Rav Asi would say that there's a difference between whether there's one brother or a bunch of brothers. That the miyun is effective in one case, but it's not effective in the other case. Rav Oshia himself would not necessarily agree to that. Rav Oshia himself would say that once her husband's dead, there cannot be miyun anymore. Now,
regardless of how many brothers there are.
Now, the implication, Rabbi is saying, when you say that she's mutter to the brothers, it's mashma, but she's also to him. Now, how could that be? According to Rabbi Oshia, that couldn't work. How could there possibly be a case where she's also to one and mutter to the others? So according to Rabbi Oshia, so therefore, Rabbi is saying, Rabbi Oshia necessarily would have to be disagreeing with Rabbi Yechanan. But Amri Law, others say that Rava said it's Rav Asi is the one who disagrees with Rav Yechanan. That because then what we would say is that La'achin means that he's mutter the other way around. According to the first version of Rava, when we say Rav Oshia, means we would assume that Rav Yechanan's statement that she's mutter La'achin means to all the brothers. And that would contradict Rav Oshia, because we just said before that there could be a distinction between one brother or a bunch of brothers. That ain't me and lachatzi zika. The Amri La, Rav Asi, others say that he's saying that even Rav Asi would disagree with Rav Yechanan, because then we would understand the word la'achin meaning to say the other brother is a mutter and he himself, the one who she did the miyun to, is aser. And that would contradict Rav Asi, who said that she's mutter to all of them. Mefarshim point out also that the Gemara didn't mention Shmuel over here because, if we understand according to Rava's first version that Rabbi Yochanan means she's mutter to all the brothers, that would also contradict Shmuel, because Shmuel said she is at least also to the one who she did miyun against. When Abaye said Rav, he meant Rav as well as Shmuel. That's why we didn't mention Shmuel, because according to Abaye, it would be the same thing. Rav and Shmuel would both be contradicting Rabbi Yochanan. Then the Mishnah continued, Bishama and Bafanov, hold that Bishama say that the miyun has to be done in front of the husband. Tanya, we learned a price. So Amr Lahan Bishula Bishama. Valak Pishain Hagamal, don't you have a case of Pishain, that was his name, the camel driver, Miyani Ishtar Shalai Bafanov. His wife did miyun not in front of him. And you see it worked. Amr Lahan Bishama Bishula, you know what the difference is. They say Pishain Hagamal, but Midah Kfusha Madad. Pishan Agamal treated his wife unfairly. But Misha Kfusha Madar literally means he measured with an upside-down container. You have they had containers in those days, and you can have there's salad bowls and things like that that you have nowadays that have a big bowl on top, and there's a little receptacle on bottom. We learned at the end of Chagigah about that kind of thing. So you can imagine somebody flipping over the bowl, sell me a bowl full of rice or whatever. So the guy flips over the bowl and sells the smaller, the base full of it. Oh, yeah, to a bowl full, that's a bowl full. Yeah. So in other words, he was treating his wife unfairly because, as Gemara is going to say in a second, he was misusing her nichse malug. He was using them illegally. Therefore, they measured out to him with an upside down measurement. In other words, they gave him what he deserved. Yeah, the chamin, namely midikachol peri. Midikachol peri is the next part of the question. We said before that the husband is entitled to peris from his yavama's property. This pisha in hagamol was taking more payers than he's supposed to, or maybe even he was taking from the actual, he may have been taking from the actual goof, which we said before, the dievet, if he did that, then she doesn't have recourse against him. So he's doing that, so he's pretty soon the whole mixim alug is going to be gone, because he's going to go sell it to support his gambling habits or whatever. So therefore, the chachamim figured we better get her away from him as soon as possible.
Is this considered gneva?
Of course it's gneva, but so this way, they figured... Well, but still, he's not supposed to be taking it. She doesn't have recourse to get it back from him. But okay, maybe it's not gneva. I said, well, whatever it is, it was still improper. No, okay. Not necessarily. There's certain kinds of gnevas. If you steal less than a shovel of peruta, for example, you know.
probably made skin by herself, and then she came to the basin, and then she did it by herself.
No, 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 because we learned in the Mishnah that both Bishama and Bisibel say it has to be done in front of three Dayanim, because Bisibel say they don't have smicha. No, but in this case, she came to Beis Din while her husband was away. Camel drivers would often go on very long trips.
Shalai b'fanav.
It wasn't in his presence, yeah. But it was b'fnei Beis Din. Okay, the Gemara asked me to ka'ochel peri. Given that you're saying the problem was that he was eating the peris, pshitah nesuah even. Obviously, she must have already been married. It wasn't just a matter of erisin that had already gotten into nesuahin. V'ahamid b'shamay nesuah lo b'manah. Didn't we say in the Mishnah b'shamay said that nesuah can't be immune? The answer is Tre Kitri Abidube. They did two conspiracies against him. In other words, they bent the usual rules in two ways in order to make sure that the miyun can happen. Number one, even though she's already Nesua, and number two, even though it's not in her husband's presence. Meaning the Shammai had said at the beginning of the Mishnah that a girl who's already married, or Nesuin has already happened, they've already had relations, etc. Is not allowed to do miyun, and yet we see here, even though she was in a surah, we allowed her to do miyun, and it was not in her husband's presence. So we bent the usual halacha in two ways. And Tosfos points out, based on the Yerushalmi, that we see from this when Bishamai is saying in the Mishnah that you don't do miyun from nisuin and you don't do it shaloi b'fanav, etc., doesn't mean you're not allowed to. It means you shouldn't. But in this case, in a case like this, then they had to bend the rules. Not money changes the rules, but he's acting unfairly, so they treated him unfairly. Yeah. Okay, then the Mishnah said Bishamai Mufne Basin Khula, that the Bishamai says that miyun can happen whether in front of Basin or that Bishamai says it has to be Davka in front of Basin, but Sibyl says not. Tanan Hossam, so we learn in a Mishnah, we had this Mishnah the other day, it's also at the beginning of Sanhedrin, Ha Khalitza Ba Miun Bishloisha, Khalitza and Miunin have to be done, and then miyun has to be done in front of three. Man Tana, who's the Tana of that Mishnah? Amarala Bishamai. Obviously, must be according to Bishamai, because Bishilul is saying in our Mishnah that it does not have to be Shaloi Bebeistin. And the Gemara assumes, Rabba assumes that when Bishilul means in our Mishnah Shaloi Befnei Beistin, means it can be even just in front of a couple of Eidim. You don't need Dayanim at all. So obviously, that Mishnah, it's an Edrin, has to be according to Bishamai. Abaya Amar, after the time of Bishilul, Abaya says no, it could even be according to Bishilul. Ad Kan Lakam Bishilul, Elad Levin and Mumchin. Bishamai is saying that when they're arguing with Bishamai and saying you don't need a Beis Din, means you don't need mumchin. You don't need people of smicha, ish mipi ish to Moshe Rabbeinu. But you do need three. You need three people who have some kind of credentials. Kedetanya, as we learn in a Braisa, Bishamai omer b'fnei Beis Din. Bishamai says that miyun has to be done in front of a Beis Din. Or Bishilul omer Beis Din shaloi b'fnei Beis Din. So far, that's the same as our Mishnah. But then the Braisa adds, if Elu Moedim Shetzorach Shloisha, both Bishamai and Bishilul agree, you do need three dayanim. This is just whether they need smicha or not. And the Mishnah, the Braisa continues, Rabbi Yosi bar Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Machshon, B'shnayim. They say that it's kosher even with two dayanim. We're not even Dayanim, Edim. Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Yomi, Amar Rav Nachman, Halacha Ka'isa Azum. The Halacha, in this case, unlike we discussed the other day at the end of the previous parak about Chalitza, that the Halacha is not like a pair of Tanoim who said there that Chalitza is kosher Beinu Lebeinu, if it's alone, not in front of Beis Din. Here the Halacha is like these two Tanoim. But yes, Miyun can be done even before less than a Beis Din of three.
Who is the two Tanaim?
The two that we carry here, Rabbi Yosi bar Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar bar Shimon. Then the Mishnah had said, Bishama Oimim Tamai and Cholo, that Bishama says that, we said that Bishilul had said that she can do Miyun as many times as she wants. She goes in and out of one marriage to the next until she's Bas Mitzvah. And Bishama had said, no, it's a one-shot thing. She can do Miyun one time for her marriage, and then that's it. We said she has to wait till Tagdil, till she becomes Bas Mitzvah. Then she does Miyun again, and then she can remarry. The question is, V'hamiyana chadazimna. She already did Miyun once. Why does she have to repeat it when she's 12? Amashmol, it means It means we have to wait until she becomes 12 years old, and she actually says, not really a separate miyun, but she has to confirm, I still want to continue with that original miyun that I did when I was 9 or 10 or however old she was. She didn't change her mind. Exactly, right. So we don't mean a separate miyun. We mean that she's confirming that my miyun of before is still in effect. Once you're 12, the no more miyun. Ula Omer Tarti Katani. Ula says, no, that's not what the Mishnah means. The Mishnah is telling us she has two options, according to the Shammai. Oish Tamayin, Vitagdu Vatearis. Either she does Miyun the one time when she's a Katana, then she has to wait till she's Bas Mitzvah, and then she can do Erusin again. We don't allow her to do Erusin beforehand while she's still under 12 because we don't want her to give her the option, to, the opportunity to do Miyun again. Or she does Miyun, and then she does Nisuin immediately, where again, according to Mrs. Chamai, you're not supposed to do Miyun from Nisuin. It's true you can have rare exceptions like that case of Pisha and the camel driver, but it's unusual. So therefore, by making sure that she does Nisuin right away after the Miyun, then you'll prevent any possible double Miyun either. Okay, the Gemara asks, Bishleima Ula. I can understand Ula's understanding of the Mishnah. Hainet Katani Adjitagdo Vishinase. Well, that's why the Mishnah uses the expression, until she grows up and she does Miyun and she remarries. In other words, that's why the Mishnah has to stress the marriage part, because according to Ula, that's the critical part, that she has to remarry right away in order to prevent any double Miyun, any double dipping. El Shmuel, Adjitagdo Vishinase. According to Shmuel, doesn't matter whether she remarries or not. All the Mishnah should say is, until she becomes older and says and declares over again that I want the Miyun. Why? What's the business of mentioning Vatinase? Kasha.
What do you mean that I want
to
stay married?
No, the Tomah would mean she says, I want the Miyun to still be in effect. I want my original marriage with my husband to be dissolved. Not whenever I want. She already did. Remember, when she was a Katana, she already did Miyun. The Shammai is saying in the Mishnah, according to Rabbah's understanding, that what she has to do is she has to wait till she's Bas Mitzvah, declare again in Beis Din, I want the Miyun to still be in effect. I've not changed my mind all these years. I want my first marriage to remain annulled. And then we'll allow her to remarry, because then at that point, if she remarries, then she's a Gzorla and she can't do Miyun anyway. She need again. But the question is, according to Rabbah, why does it have to mention Vitinase? The important point is not whether she ever remarries, but whether she declares after 12 that she wants the Miyun to still be in effect. Kasha, it's not a total theory. You could say Vatinase means that, you know, she has the option of getting remarried at that point, but still the Mishnah would have been smoother without that. Real quick, since we have a couple of minutes and we've gotten to the Mishnah, nowadays nobody gets married below Bas Mitzvah anyway. But what happened with this whole din of Miyun? There is a simon in Shulchan Aruch about the din of it, simon Kuf Nun Hey and Evan Ezer. But in the time that we said before that you need, even if you don't need smuchim, ish, but you need people who know the relevant halachas. There came a point during the time about the time when the changeover from the Rishonim to the Achronim, when one of the important Rabbanim of that time, Rabbi Nachum of Merzburg, who's also called Rabbi Nachum Me'il Tzedaka, after Me'il Tzedek, after a sefer he wrote, he declared that from now on Miyun should not be done. He said, for one thing, first of all, it's going to be confusing. People are going to see their marriage is being dissolved without a get. They're not going to realize the difference between a Katana and a Gdola. It was a time when there was tremendous persecution of Jews going on. A lot of people were growing up without knowing. Menachem, the old tzaddik, felt that in his times already people are. It's getting to the point. There's too many amaratsim out there. They may think that a marriage can be dissolved without a get. Number two, he said, how can you be sure that the people who the miyun is being done in front of are actually know the relevant halachas? So therefore, he declared that from now on you should not do miyun, and that became generally accepted among Ashkenazim, until about 150 years later, one of the big rabbanim of that time, Rabbi Yaakov Polak. Who was the teacher? Let me see if I remember correctly. He was the teacher of Rav Shachna, who in turn was the teacher of the Marshal. They lived in the late 1400s, early 1500s. He had a sister-in-law or something who was in a situation where he felt she needed miyun. She wasn't getting along with her husband. So he set up a base din and arranged a miyun. And it became a huge controversy because everybody argued, how are you talking? You're going against the psak of a Menachem Me'il Tzedek from 150 years ago. The upshot of it is, part of what happened is because of that, this Rebaka was originally from Poland, that's why it was called Rebaka Polak. He'd been living in Germany, in one of the cities in Germany. This whole machlokas, he was actually forced to leave there and return to Poland. That was one thing. Number two, what happened was, though, once it was done, Rebaka allowed her to remarry somebody else. However, the Maharshal writes, it's true, she did end up remarrying somebody else. That marriage didn't really work out so well either. So therefore, he said, better stick to the Menachem Meir Tzedek Gzeira. You don't do miyun nowadays, and that's how the halacha remains. And then you get, I guess, is the idea. Yeah. The Aruch HaShulchan mentions that also sometime. I haven't been able to find the reference, but the Aruch HaShulchan mentions that also sometime before his time. So like you're talking the late 1700s or the 1800s, also a miyun was done, and it generated tremendous controversy, which isn't giving me details. So I don't know what it was all about. This is true. I mean, there were a lot of reasons why they wanted to marry him off as Khanim. I mean, you have, first of all, later on, at the time of the Cantonists, for example, it was very common to marry off boys when they were young because then they won't be taken to the army. But girls also, sometimes, you find sometimes people, for one reason or another, wanted to marry off their girls as young as possible. You never know, the wheel of fortune might turn and you won't have enough for a Natan later on, or who knows, whatever, yeah. But yeah. Thank you.